just grab your Bible and we are going to navigate through the word of God in the book of Nehemiah. Last Sunday it was about Nehemiah chapter 2, and today is going to be Nehemiah chapter 4. As you can see, we have been talking about dealing with addictions. I don't know where you were at this time, at this stage. Maybe you experienced, you still fresh with the sadness, with the brokenness. Maybe probably someone, you have already go all the way down. You are dealing with other Tobian Sambalers. I'm talking about the last sermon. We are dealing with opposition. People want to drag you back into the thing. They don't want you to stay safe. Sometimes we can have friends or this habit of doing something, and over the enemy start telling you you did a wrong mistake to leave what you've been doing. You must go back and still enjoy. Just go back to what you have to tell the enemy, enough is enough. I've come out of this. I don't want to deal with it. And last Sunday I told you that dealing with Sambalar and Tobia and Geshem, the Arabs, it can be more complicated because the enemy will always try to track you down so you can go back to the same thing. You have already made a resolution. I want to serve the Lord. I want to stay safe and I want to stay, clean. But all of a sudden, after a few months on the road, you don't know what's happened. You go back to square one again. Let me tell you something. Don't get tired. If you find yourself in a mess again, it should not be the habit of saying that I know I'm going to sin against the Lord tomorrow. No. If you find yourself in a mess, please, just stand up and they say, "Precious Father, I don't know what's happened, but here I am. Please give me the strength and to move forward." But you cannot prepare to sin because this is blasphemy. You cannot just play around with God. We always trap into something, but you cannot prepare. So addiction, you prepare yourself. You know what you're going to do. You, after an hour, you know that I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And believe me, sometimes it can be very complicated just to say, I don't want to be part of this kind of life. On your own, you can't do much, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, believe me, you can do better. And God can strengthen. God, you can be strengthened. You can move forward. So continue to fight your fights. The Bible tells me, the book of Ephesians chapter 6, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, which means we are fighting with hidden spirit, invisible spirit. We are fighting with the things, the prince of airs, demons. And there are a lot of things. Satan is just at work. He doesn't want you to get you to heaven. He doesn't want you. He wants you dead. He wants you to be corrupted. He doesn't want you to enjoy being in the presence of God. He used to live there. He knows what happens, in heaven. He knows that. Satan, knowing that he cannot be there, is over and over, and that's it. It's for eternity. He can't go there. So he doesn't also want you and me to get there. That's why you have to create all this commotion of these issues of life. And on Bible study on Wednesday, the one who's leading the Bible study had some series of questions that we go. And then I remember during our discussion, we said something that to live here, to be here on earth, which means we have to fight. So trouble, which means word, means trouble. If I can, you have to ask me the meaning of translation of word, the word system. To live is to die, as to live also is to experience trouble. There's no way you can be here on earth without experiencing trouble and difficulties. It doesn't matter if you are rich, if you are poor. It doesn't matter where you were born. All of us always go through problems. But I like what the Bible tells me. It doesn't matter what happens to our lives. The Lord is so faithful to deliver us from all our troubles. That's what the Bible tells me. Afflictions will come, but the Lord is so faithful to deliver us as long as we believe and we trust Him. Amen, amen. Amen. So we're going to be on our feet and we're going to pray. We're going to also to read the scripture I'm just going to the book of Nehemiah 4:7-9. It's just two verses by the grace of God. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 7 to 9. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 4 from verse 7 to 9. Waiting, just grab your Bible, please, and we're going to venture into the Word of God. Nehemiah 4, 7 to 9. Now, it happened. Nehemiah 4, 7 to 9. Now, it happened when Sambalar, Tobia, the Arab, the Ammonite, and the Ashdodites heard that the wall of Jerusalem were being restored, and the gaps, you can underline, and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made up our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. You can underline in your Bible, and the gaps were beginning to be closed. And also you can underline, because of how these people were very upset, Nehemiah said, we set a watch against them day and night. In other words, they were watching day and night so the end will not come. Precious Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that at this time I pray that you may open our spiritual understanding, our spiritual inner man to receive your word with thanksgiving attitude. Lord, speak to us. Use me as much as you can, and also create the atmosphere of receptive habits or attitude, oh Lord my God, that we may receive your word and that will transform our lives to then forevermore. In Jesus' name I have prayed. Amen. You may be seated, please. When I was reading this scripture, look how this commotion, what was happening here. The Bible tells me, by the time when the enemy of the progress, the enemy of the gospel, the enemy who will be always be there trying to prevent you from reaching out, from becoming who God intended you to be. The Bible tells me, by the time when they had the news that there was some progress going on by when they were rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem, the Bible tells me, if I can even read it again, Sambalat, Tobiah, and the Arabs and all these people, they heard that the wall of Jerusalem had been restored. So there was a restoration took place. And then what I really like about this scripture, the Bible tells me, and the gaps, which means when even they are rebuilding, the gaps, which means the open areas, the gaps were beginning to be closed. They became very upset. They became very angry. And what they did, the Bible tells me, they conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and to create confusion. The enemy will never like when you have decided to close all the gaps in your life. And this made it, so this part of the last part of dealing with addictions, the start of this message is close what we should not be open. We need to close what we should not be open. There are things that we can open into our lives. There are other things we cannot really try even for a second to open. So all these gaps, the Bible tells me, when they heard that the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very upset because they wanted to have access even though you close. Sometimes you may say, I'm okay, I'm fine. But if the enemy knows where he can always come and attack you, he always come to using the next door, using the rear door, using the crooked window. He will use all the means to come in your life. And you may say, there's nothing wrong with me. No. The enemy knows that, no, I still have access in your life. I still have access to your children. I can come and mess up with your children. I can come and mess up with your finances. The Bible tells me, by the time when they knew that, even the gaps, they were beginning to be closed, they became very upset. They just looked like, no, they cannot close the gaps. It can't happen. The enemy became very upset. And the Bible tells me, they started running, plotting how they can come and attack and create confusion. Nevertheless, Nehemiah said, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. They could not sleep. They say, we're going to watch 24 hours. We need soldiers who can stand watching day and night because the enemy is preparing to attack us. That's the way when we're coming through addiction, brother, when we're coming through restoration, you need to set a clock. You need to set watch. You should not say, you know what, it's enough, it's enough. I've been praying for last time. You should continue to pray every day, every moment, because we have the enemy. The Bible tells me in the book of John 10:10, he always come to steal, to kill, to destroy. He have already made an appointment with you every day to destroy your life. Then you need to wake up. You need to stand up. You need to keep on watching day and night, because you may never know when he will come. Amen, amen. No one knows when the enemy will come. No, you never know. That's why the thieves always, they always are surprisers. Something, oh, all of a sudden they come and then they collect everything. They will never tell you when they will come. No, because we don't know when the enemy will come, then we need to set. We need to stay awake, brother. Now, if you have to transform that spiritually, we need to stay awake spiritually because we'll never know when the enemy will come. Amen, amen. Amen. Yes. Why do we close our houses when we sleep or when we go out? If you have a car, never see anyone leaving all your car door open. Say, you know what? Have faith in the Lord. Try that name one day in the place called Hastings. You'll come, you don't even fear. They will collect everything because we all have this mentality. It's a common sense. You leave your car, you lock your car. Okay, you may say, Pastor, I don't have a car. What about your phone? Before I can access your phone, you have got 10 passwords. And you know why I have to lock your phone? Because you don't want anyone to come and mess up with your information. Sometimes there's nothing like you are hiding, but it's just called security, which means there's nothing that you can hide. But still, if anyone can access your phone, can access a lot of information. And people can steal information. They can steal all your documents. They can steal all your password, things like that. That's why you protect whatever belongs to you. It's a common sense. It's good. Even our children, they have their phones, but you can even know their password. There's nothing wrong, but you see, already they have been trained to protect everything that they do have. What about our spiritual man? When you're coming from restoration, when you're coming from addiction, how much do you do to protect yourself? Nehemiah said that when they heard the news that even the gaps, which means the small opening, they were closing, all the enemy became very upset, very frustrated. We need to close all any gaps, anything that will bring us back to square one, we need to be closed. That's why I say this message is close what we should not be open. We need to close. The Israelites worked with all their heart close to close the gaps in the world. They were really working very hard to close all the gaps. Not only we saw, even having a door is not enough. Even the gaps, when they're building the wall, we need to close all the gaps. We don't want any problem with the enemy. So we need to close anything all the gaps need to be closed. So as I say that, the addict must not approach recovery heartheartedly, which means, in other words, without enthusiasm or energy or doing it without all a real effort or interest. You cannot say, I'm coming to this, and you're like, are you saying, I don't know if it's going to work. Let me just come. Yeah, I've been doing these things, but I'm 3 months now, I'm not smoking. 3 months, 6 months, I'm not drinking. Just these things. It must be a serious case. When you're coming out of any addiction, whatever brought you there need to be uprooted immediately. You cannot come from a drinking habit and you start visiting liquor store for no reason. I went there to buy water. Why you have to go to buy water in the liquor store? Why? To tempt yourself again. Why? Tell me. Why? Why? I didn't say anything wrong. I just see that I was very thirsty. Then I saw that also because I know liquor stores, they do also sell waters. I don't know, but I think so. But why you have to go there to buy juice? Why only on liquor store when you know that you have an issue with drinking? Why? That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. So please, you have to close all the anything that will trigger your past behavior need to be uprooted in your life. Anything. It can be a relationship. It can be somebody. Anything in any unhealthy relationship need to be cut off. If by always visiting this person, you always fall in something terrible, you need to stop. You need to create another way, another means, so you don't go there again. That's what I'm talking about. Amen, amen. So, what's happening here? The freedom from addiction requires a full effort. And part of that means getting rid of any sin at the roots. Don't deal with the leaves. Leave the leaves alone. Don't deal with the fruits. Leave the fruits alone. Sometimes it's addiction, which means you have to go on the root of the problem. You see someone drinking, don't go start judging. Oh, why are you drinking? Why are you doing this? What's wrong with you? I know you cannot change. No, you can pray for this person. Maybe unless you try to figure out what is the problem, what brought this person to start drinking? Figure out about the root of the problem before you can deal with the leaves. That's what I'm talking about. If it will take you to uproot the entire tree, then you have to. And sometimes we deal with leaves. Sometimes we deal with people's behaviors. I don't know why I cannot stop doing this. I don't know why he's still smoking. Why he's doing this? Why he's on drugs? What's wrong with you? No, there's nothing wrong with this person. Try to understand. And I believe all these counselors, these psychologists, they are well trained. Try to understand how they can. That's why these people, they go to school to learn it, to understand the root of the problem. Don't solve the problem in a halfway trying to deal with the addiction or the problem you have seen. Figure out what happened in the past. Go and dig deeper into the root of the problem. And maybe the person start drinking because he has been abused. Maybe he has started this journey of be on drugs because something happened when he was born or when he was a young age. Maybe the parents never showed love to. Maybe he has been abused by his own parents. Something happened that has pushed this person to start this kind of behavior. And then you will figure out how to bring a solution or provide resources that will be more effective. So closing those gaps, all those, anything that's been opened our lives, we need to figure out where the problem started and how we have to proceed. Because here, the Bible tells me, Nehemiah, by the time when the same enemies, when they heard the news, even the gaps, the Bible tells me, where they heard that even the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very upset, which means they say, no, as long as they can rebuild the wall, but we must have access to those gaps. The enemy wants you to be restored, but he will tell you, no, this is okay, but leave that door open. In case of you need to go back, you can use that door. No, tell the enemy, enough is enough. When I've come out of this addiction, I've come out of this, it's a complete work. There's no any escaping room. No, there's no any exit or in case of accident, break. No. I'm this. There's no any back door I can use. There's no. I'm just want to follow all the process, all the protocol until I recover. I recover my life again, if I can say that. Close what we should not be open. It's real. It's real, and it is true. We need to close what is not to be open. It's a reality. Don't just deal with the leaves. Sometimes the problem resides in the roots, as I said. Don't deal with, I don't like the bark of this or apple, they are rotten. No, it's not about the fruit. It's about the roots. It's about not even the tree, the roots. There's something underneath that we cannot see that is damaging always the fruit or the leaves. That's what I'm saying. Is there any opening space, gaps, or breach that need to be closed up in your life? This is the time to think about it. Check yourself at this moment. Don't say, I've been clean, I'm feeling good in 2 years now. I feel great. I'm not smoking. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing all these funny things. I've been pure. I've said, okay, good. But are you checking if there's any opening, there's any gaps, any breach, anything, any space, any opening space that the enemy can come back again in your life? Check yourself, brother. Do some exams tonight. Just test yourself, trying to figure out what can happen in the future if you stand by yourself. Because there are things that you think you are very strong because you still live in the environment people where they are supporting you. There will be a time you will be all alone, and sometimes the enemy will come back again to check on you. And as I told you last time, the enemy always comes when we are weak, when we are very weak. That's the enemy will come and mess up with us. So all these things need to be eliminated. If it's in which area are you allowing the enemy to come in? Maybe you have already surrendered your life to Christ. You said, you know what? I don't want to do these things anymore. But there's a particular area, there's a place, or you just feel like, I cannot just close this door. I just enjoy when I'm doing these things. No, even that one needs to be closed. All the gaps need to be closed. All the gaps. all the opening space need to be closed. This is what Nehemiah did. And when we are going to our recovery, when everything needs to be closed, need to be shut completely, need to be uprooted or closed completely. Amen, amen, church. By the grace of God, we can do it. The bottom line is that we must be willing to do whatever it takes to close the gaps and shut the door to the enemy. The gaps, it can be anything. So I wrote something down here. The gaps were beginning to be closed. As a personal initiative, otherwise the enemy would like to have the opportunity once in a while to get and to destroy all your effort. Here they said, oh, they are closing all this opening space. But the enemy didn't want that. The enemy, sometimes that's how we play church. You see holy, holy people, but they still have this behavior like they're hiding things around. Most of the time, we found all these funny, funny things in the church. We are not transformed, so we are deformed. There's no transformation in your life, then there's a deformation. Because if you don't go through the process, the entire process of being recycled by Jesus, through the blood of Jesus, brother, if you don't allow to go through this, through that process, then you come out deformed. Do you see, we have these people in the church. We have believers. They call so-called believers, but they will always keep on saying Jesus is good. But when you come very closer to understand how they live, horrible. Horrible. They profess they know Christ, but through their deed, horrible. Horrible. They are willing, they are ready to do anything so they can get it. And when they are doing those deals, don't bring Jesus close. That's what I'm talking about. You say you're born again, but show you're born again through your deeds. You say you know Christ. Come on, brother and sister, show me that you know Christ through your actions, through your word, through your behaviors. That's the way to do things, brother. We should stop these things of Jesus loves you, or the six that Jesus is good. No, that will not change the world. Someone want to look at you and say, you know what, I believe Jesus is good because I've seen how good you have been. Someone have to see the love of God through you to believe that God is love. Yes, there are things we need to change, brother. If you have to close all the gaps, by the time we say, I receive my Lord, Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, which means we are telling Jesus, close all the gaps in my life. But sometimes you wonder, if you say that you want to receive Christ. I remember this cartoon when I was in Kenya many years back, maybe 20 years back. It was an amazing cartoon. This gentleman was receiving water baptism. It's a cartoon. And then this pastor was standing in the water in the lake. And they said, James, I'm going to baptize you in the name of Jesus, the Father. And then he said, you know that when you go to the water, you belong to Jesus. And the cartoon, James was like, amen, I believe. And then pastor was telling James, you know that when you go in the water, everything about you belongs to Jesus. The gentleman in the cartoon said, yes, I know. And then when the pastor put him, the gentleman, in the water, he went to the water, the gentleman removed his wallet. So the wallet was up, the gentleman was under the, and the pastor was looking at the wallet and when the man was in the water. So the cartoon, when I was doing the manuscript all the way down, the gentleman was like, yeah, you can have me, but not my wallet. You see, we always leave open the gaps here and there. When the enemy will always come and mess with us, we must say, enough is enough. If I've received Christ in my life, then I need to understand who Jesus is, and I need to follow him. It's not like something I can try here and there. No, you need to close all, anything in your life, you must close it. It's not an easy thing, but God will give you the courage to close them. Amen, amen. Yes, he'll give you the courage to say, not enough is enough. I need just to close them. I want to give you a testimony. I used to love music, like secular music, a lot. As a musician, when I was growing up, I used to play a lot of music. I'd be a lead guitar player in the team, in the band. I remember when I came in this country, I came with a lot of bags of CDs, players, a lot of CDs, music. Like, I used to like this music a lot. And nothing about God, even though I call myself so born again, but there was no anything that reflects, especially for music, that reflects that I was a born again. Because when you come in my house, when I moved here, everything was about any music, any world music. That was me, Gaston. Until one day I was in the church. until one day that day, I can't remember. I can't forget. And the pastor was preaching about how sometimes we mess ourselves. We say we are children of God, but what we do doesn't. And he was talking about music. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. This was my own personal conviction. That day when I went home, I took all the boxes that everything. It was I brought a lot. As a musician, a lot. I had a lot. I just scratched all the CDs, all of them. I was crying. I felt so bad because, first of all, I paid a lot of money to have them. And then I need to destroy it. I felt so, why? But that was my personal conviction. Because it was like, even though the pastor didn't know much about me, but my conscience was not at peace. It was like, here I am. So when I'm carrying a church member in my vehicle, I need to turn off the music. Or I put something that they will praise the Lord. When they leave, put volume up and then playing all these things I want to play. That's why I used to feel good about it. Until one day, it was through the teaching. And the pastor was just preaching. I was listening. And I knew that day it was my day. The pastor didn't know what was going on in my life. It was a big church. He didn't know that's the time I came to realize when you go to church, when you listen to the word of God, don't start pointing fingers. I think pastor is talking. No, that message was my message. Because anytime when God speaks, that message is for someone. Don't say, why can't pastor is talking about me? No. When you go to church, expect God to speak to you. That day it was my day. I didn't even ask anyone's opinion when I went home. Even my church, my family, I remember one thing, collecting all the boxes of those CDs and anything, crush them. I crushed everything. That was me. Brother, sometimes we need to do more than what I did. We need to close all the gaps. Anything that will bring you back to square one need to be shut down. I'm in a minute. Colossians 3:5 says, this is scripture I was reading here, amazing scripture to back up what I'm talking about here. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Colossians 3:5. Put to death your members, which means your body, your members, which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Put to death. Those are the things of the word. So closing those gaps, which means we need to follow what Colossians 3:5 says. It's not easy. Someone has been watching all these magazines. You know what I'm talking about? We have children and our maids. They have been watching these magazines. So they'll go to 7-Eleven to buy my newspaper, but they're not interested in the newspaper. They will go there and buy those magazines. You know the one magazine I'm talking about. And they'll start going, and they have to hide those pages. They'll go when one is watching. They start to go. All these things, you are just breaking. The Bible tells me, says, put to death. He says, you need to kill, we need to destroy anything that will destroy our members. So put to death your members which are on the earth, brother. And then the Bible is very clear, prophet, fornication, adultery, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. You cannot go to recovery halfway through. You cannot. You need to put to death everything. Everything. You cannot be a spirit-filled believer while still smoking or drinking or chasing women around. No. No. A spirit-filled believer, which means is a person who have decided to live according to Colossians 3:5, to put to death, you have killed, you have destroyed. Say, you know what? The world will not have place. I know we are living in the world, but we are not of this world, which means I know that by knowing, having this information, having this, you need to put it in your mind, knowing that, hey, I can live and not having the desire of the things of this world. Information is good. Somebody say information leads to transformation. I believe that. Information leads to transformation. And if you're not inspired by being informed, you'll expire by becoming deformed. Information is good. And if you're not inspired by it, you'll become expired by becoming deformed. Information is good. So tonight you're receiving this information. Keep it. Work with it. It's good. Information is good. We need to be informed, Church of God. We should not continue to play church every day. You go, you will be there. Nothing has changed in your life. January, you're still the same. Until December, you're still going around and there's no progress. There's no spiritual progress in your life. What is wrong with you, brother? What is wrong with you, sister? There must be a progress, which means anytime when you receive information for anything, information is power. Information brings changes at the end of the day. That's what I know. The more you read the word of God, the more you become informed. And you know what you're supposed to do and what you're not supposed to do. And when you ignore, this gentleman said, when you ignore information, you become expired by being deformed, which is true. That's what I told you earlier. If you don't go to transformation, you become deformed. Amen, amen. Unless you are transformed, you end up by being deformed. Paul emphasized on putting to death all members, our members from earthly desires. Why say that? Romans 8:13 is the response of Colossians 3:5. Romans 8:13 is the response of Colossians 3:5. Romans 8:13 says this, For if you live by its dictates, you will die. I like the Bible. You see how you can link two statements together? So, Romans 8:13 is a response of what we didn't even understand in Colossians 3:5. In Colossians 3:5, Paul just said, put to death your members which are on the earth. You may say, put to death what exactly? I don't get it. And then Paul went, so you know what? You don't understand it? Fornication, adultery, passion, evil desire, covetousness, all these things. And then you're like, why should I do that? And then really, you don't understand that? Go in the book of Romans 8:13. Romans 8:13 is the answer of Colossians 3:5 because Romans 8:13 says, for if you live by its dictates, in other words, if you live by it, you will die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. Amen, amen. Information is the key. Now you have been informed. So am I. Close what should not be opened. Brother, close what we should not be opened. We need to close every door, you know, that this door is not supposed to be opened. And the funny thing with believers or people, we always close what we're supposed to open. We always act awkward. The things that the doors are supposed to open, those are the ones we always close. It's too much. I cannot handle it. You have to wait for long. To love my enemy, that's the door. You should open the door of loving your enemy. No one wants to hear that. People that have already thrown the keys far end. They don't want that door to be open. They always say you should love your enemy. Pastor, don't say that. I don't even have the keys. I don't know. I can't even open that door. Pastor, it's okay. We should not even open that door because I don't have the key. No, go and search for that key. Open one. So we always act different words. So open the doors. You should open the doors that you're supposed to be. No. You should close the door. We're supposed to be. What's your message here? We must close what's supposed to be open. That's the problem we are doing. We are closing the doors that's not supposed to be open. And in a different ways of saying, believers also what has been happening. We have also close the door the doors that are supposed to be open. So we need to deal with those two. Bear with me for a moment. It's clear. Go back and check yourself. Any door that God wanted you to open, and then the enemy has been twisting your mind, you ended by closing it. Open it, brother. And any door that the Lord have told you, you should not even try to open, to even close all the gaps because you have been reluctant. You feel like, go and start closing all those doors because all the gaps, because they will bring you trouble at the end. Close what we should not be open. This redefine, I can tell you, before we end up, redefine your boundaries. That's the meaning of it. Redefine your boundaries. We're messing about boundaries again. Personal boundaries are what define your identity. Close what we should not be open. Personal boundaries are what defines our identity. They're like the property lines around a house. This is my property, and that is not my property. How do you know that this property not belongs to you? How do you know the limit of property? Through boundaries. Amen, amen. That's why you never plant flowers in neighbor's property. Don't say, oh, I thought it was just still part of my property. You start moving all your flowers in your neighbor's property. You say, don't even try that. Everything you need to respect your neighbor, especially here, I like how things are well organized. You know the limit of your property. Why they have got those lines that shows the limit of your property? Because those are redefines your. Those are the things that shows your identity. That's where you belong. That's all your property. So, which means you cannot go and mess up with someone's property, and vice versa. So, when you have already you know your boundaries, there's no way your neighbor can come and mess up with what belongs to you. You have the right to say no. I don't want that. Thank you with your flowers, but please don't put your flowers in my property, in my yard. I don't like it. You may like it, but me, I don't like it. That's where we are living. And that's where the society behaves at the end. That's the way we are living. We respect each other's boundaries and properties. Good. And when you're coming from addiction, out of it, when I say that we should close what is supposed to be open, which means we need to reset our boundaries again. There are things you have to say, you know what, I can't go there because I know if by trespassing this place, by going even 1 inch, I know what's going to happen to me. That I need to stay between, just stay between my boundaries because I know what will happen if I have to step out of my boundaries. Maybe you'll relapse in a second. Why am I saying this? Good boundaries help you to care for other people, for others. Because you have a stable foundation to operate from and not distracted and depleted by personal insecurity or blind spots. Let me say this. Good boundaries help you to care for others because you have a stable foundation to operate from and are not distracted or depleted by personal insecurity or blind spots. When you know your boundaries, then you know how to help someone else. But when you don't know your boundaries, you end up by messing up with even someone's property. When you know your boundaries, you no mess up with someone's property. When you know your boundaries, then there's a way you can help someone because you know how far you can go and where you cannot go and what you can do and what you cannot do for the sake of boundaries. Close what you should not be open, brother and sister. Boundaries help us to have expectations from people who are helping us, or vice versa. Boundaries help us to have expectation from the people we are helping, or vice versa. And for instance, I was going through the life of Jesus. Jesus had expectation from people in need. He knew how to set up his boundaries. And this, we're calling Jesus, God living with us here, the Messiah, Emmanuel. He knew how to set boundaries. He knew that. There was a time in the book of Matthew 20, 29, 34. Two blind men called out to him for help from Jericho Road. He asked them, what do you want me to do? What do you want? Jesus could have seen that these people, they are blind. He saw that. You see boundaries, how boundaries operate? So Jesus, by seeing these people, they are, first of all, they are blind. In other words, I don't know why Jesus have to ask them, what do you want? They always say that God knows all our needs. Is that right? Amen. We know that. But you know why Jesus have to ask, what do you want? Because some people never want to see. There's no enemy. God cannot force miracle on you, brother. Unless you want it, he will give it to you. Boundaries. And Jesus have to ask, what do you want? Someone who's coming in your life, sometimes you have to take the courage to say, what do you want again? What do you want in my life? What do you want? There's nothing wrong to ask, what do you want? Don't feel shy. I don't know how to say. No, just say, well, what do you want? Jesus knew how to set up that example. He knew how to set boundaries. He knew how to close and to open doors. There was nothing wrong. These people, they were blind people. The intention of crying to Jesus is because they really wanted to see. And why Jesus could say, oh, bring them here. Hey, come here. You know what? I need to help you out. I know you are blind, you people. Oh, my goodness. What happened to you? Sit down here. I'm going to do some wonders and miracles and wonders here so you people can see. Without even asking them, you see, trespassing someone's boundaries. Jesus have to respect their boundary. What do you want? Which means Jesus is stepping, he's asking permission to come on the other side. And most of the time we don't ask permission, we just go, we start doing things anyhow, and we get into trouble. When you have crossed all the gaps, which means you know now your boundaries, like Nehemiah chapter 4. When someone comes to you, or you want to reach out, always ask before you go on the other side. When if someone has to come on where you were, the person has to come and you ask, what do you want? Amen, amen. What do you want? You can read the entire story in the book of Matthew 20, 29, 34. Number two, about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. When we go in the book of John 5, 1, 14, there's another story of a 38-year-old man who has been sitting, called invalid, sitting at the sheep gates pool, and has been able to get it. He has been not able to get into the water. He felt helpless and sorry for himself. He expected someone to fix his problem, and Jesus challenged him. You see, he expected someone to fix his problem. So, again, boundaries and knowing where to stand when you say enough is enough. And know how you can reach out or people can reach out to you. Vice versa. So, this story is an amazing story. Jesus was challenged to him. Do you want to get well? Come on, Jesus. You see, I'm sitting down here for 38 years. You see, again, the boundary Jesus created. Because some people, they just enjoy how they are living their lives. Don't go and mess. I just have to help you to do. No. Don't become Santa Claus. I don't know. I don't believe in these things. But don't become too sweet. I just want to help. I want to do this. You trespass your boundaries and then all of a sudden problems start. No, know your boundaries, brother. There are things you can say. You know what? I wish I can help you, but I'm limited. And people may not understand why you say you are limited, because I know what I'm talking about. We all went through this. Not knowing how to set boundaries created troubles in my life. I'm teaching you out of experience. I've suffered a lot because of not trying to create proper boundaries in ministry. We need to close those gaps, brother and sister. You may not like what I'm talking to you, but that's the way to live. That's the way to be in our lives. I've suffered. I know what I'm talking about. And here, Jesus challenged this man. Do you want to get well? Oh, come on, Jesus. You can see that I've been here for 38 years waiting for someone to take me. Jesus said, now I know. That's what I'm just asking you. Do you want to get well? Yes or no? He brought the other story. He didn't say yes. Oh, you know what? I've been here doing this. No one has access to me. I'm waiting for this. No cereal. No this. You know, I've been here. No money. But so he couldn't even answer that. Now, listen again for another how Jesus helped this person. Even though when the gentleman could not answer clearly Jesus' question, Jesus told him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. You see, still, Jesus was still standing, keep his boundaries. He just said, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. If it was you, Jesus, or me, Jesus, hey, you take the person. Hey, I'll help you to go. I'll help you. No, Jesus loves you so much. Let me talk. Let's go to Superstore. No, there are things you should not be doing. He told the person, get up. Pick up your mat and walk. It was to him to be motivated to take responsibility for himself. It was not about Jesus to do it. You see, when we operate in our boundaries, brother, we minimize problems and issues around. There will not be commotion of we heard this, we have been doing this, we have been doing that. Always, even though there's nothing wrong, but always create boundaries is always good in the name of Jesus Christ. It's always good because Jesus is the model. Look what he did. He told him, pick up your mat and walk. He didn't say, hey guys, come here and help this gentleman to pick up his mat so he can start walking. No, he said, no, don't help him. Pick up your mat. So that's what I told you. It was this gentleman's responsibility, and he was supposed to be motivated to stand up and to start walking. He didn't say, oh, why are you saying that I should stand and walk? I've been here for 38 years. How can you tell me to walk? I need people to come and support me so I can stand. He said, no, no, no. You don't need to stand up, pick up your mat, and walk. What do you want? Do you want to get well? Some people, they like the way they are living. So don't trouble them. You can start. There's no way you can teach someone who like the way he has been doing his thing. It doesn't matter how you come and teach him some new tricks. If the person is not in person's heart, you will not become, I don't know. I know what I'm talking about. And you should take this message in your heart. Don't step your boundaries. Otherwise, it looks so ugly. Don't step your boundaries in the name of helping someone. You go and step your boundaries. No, it's not in the Bible. Set up your boundaries and help, but create as Jesus. We are following his footsteps. We have to follow what he did. And then you show the way, but he said, do you want to get well within his boundaries? Number three, Jesus was amazing. The last one, in the book of Mark 9, 17 to 27. This is a story of a father sought deliverance for his son who was mute and had seizures and said to Jesus, anyways, I'm a French, believe me, and bear with me for a second. Epilepsy en français. So if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. So Jesus put it back on the father, if you can. Everything is possible for him who believes. The father needed to believe that Jesus could cure his son. And they asked him, do you believe? Do you believe? If it's not, what do you want? If it's not, do you want to get well? It can be, do you believe? It's not like Jesus saw that there was already a problem that needed to be fixed. He saw that there was a problem that he knew that I can do something about it. Again, he didn't force any miracle. He never forced to do something. He always asked. God is so faithful. That's what the Bible tells me in the book of Revelation. If you hear, he will knock. If you open, he will come in. Why God cannot just appear like Superman in your bedroom? You always polite, knock, 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 knock. If you hear and you're willing to open the door, you welcome him in, he will come in. God is so, he's very polite, man. Understand your boundaries. Close anything you're supposed to be closed, brother. Don't go back to square one. It can be more complicated to surface again. We're missing this. There are sometimes we have to deal with generational gaps. All the doors that have been opened with our ancestors many years back. Sometimes we are paying the price of many doors that have been opened long time ago. You may say, oh, my parents, they are believers. Yeah. You don't know that what you are experiencing can be through your ancestors. Things that it's a generation gaps that they have decided to do something about the entire generation. Someone have to have the revelation to cut it off. You have to have the revelation from God and to say, you know what? No, I cannot continue to live like this. You need to stop. You need to say, no, I know that's not true. This is not our life. No, this is not the color of this life. No, 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 no. This is not the color of my family. I need to stop it. I'm coming to the end of this scripture. Amazing scripture. Sometimes to deal with the drinking habit, you must search its origin, as I told you. Any addiction has its own root, and you must find the root and deal with it. Some problems will never go away unless you address the issue from its root. Yeah, you bind, get loose. You bind, get loose. You bind, get loose. Not because you don't have the power. You are binding the wrong stuff. You are binding the wrong enemy. That's why you bind, get loose again. Bind, get loose. No, no, no. There must be, you have to figure out what is the problem. That's why even in the deliverance, don't rush to start putting, lay your hands on people's head. I deliver you, I deliver you. Be very careful. Be careful to start like with your hands. You're working on the street, your hands up. You're just looking for opportunity. You can lay your hands. Be very careful. If you don't know the root of the problem, don't rush to deliver someone's life. Don't rush to lay your hands on someone's. Don't even. Understand the root of the problem. True love, the one, and someone can open up. Sometimes the person who is suffering doesn't even know what happened. And then you engage in prayer. You start praying, and God will reveal you things. And then you will deal with the problem now. Amen, amen. The last scripture in the book of Matthew 12, 43 to 45 is about unclean spirit returns. Matthew 12, 43, 45. When the unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I'll return to my home, to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? When you leave those gaps, I'm doing fine. I used to smoke 10 pack of cigarettes per day. Now I can say I'm doing good because I'm smoking only one or two. No, cut it off. Cut it off. If you know you have been committing what you have been doing through internet, call these people, take all the modem back to them. If the internet, it has been the cause of you doing what you have been doing, then disconnect yourself. If it's your phone, smash your phone. Say, Pastor, it's a 1500 phone. Hey! So you want to perish because of $1,500? Your life is priceless. Smash that phone. If you have been tempted through phone to do funny thing, don't even bring it to me. Smash it. Bury it. Kill it. There are things you don't play around with them, bro. There are things you don't play around with. If it can be a relationship, unhealthy relationship that has been causing you to do funny thing, change the ways of addressing the issue. Change immediately. If you have to cut it off. In the name of Jesus Christ. Cut it off. Just cut it off. Say, you know what? I don't want. I know always when I come to see you, something happened. No. You know what? I'm not coming. And don't call me next time. I've written my book in the name of this phone, 111, registering something. If it will cause you to change even the address, physical address, do it. Seriously, if your relapse or going back against square one is because of the position of the job you're occupying at this moment, if you have to resign, resign. Terminate that contract if it's possible. Anything that has been dragging you down to square one, going back, you cannot close all those gaps. You cannot close all those breaches. Brother, cut them off. If you have to do something unusual, do it. For the sake of your life, you can do it. People, they may think you are crazy. Yes, let them judge you as a crazy person, but leave it. Leave. it says the state of this person is worse. We should not be on that stage where we know the consequence of doing the same thing again. And how the Bible tells me that the last stage of this person will be more complicated. Then this, it's already a warning. We need to keep our heart very safe. That's why Proverbs 4:23 tells me, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issue of life. Keep it, keep it, keep your heart diligent. You have to keep your heart very, you have to save your life, brother, than saving your soul. It doesn't matter what your body wants. Colossians 3:5. Respond to it in the book of Romans. We cannot live through the protocol of this world. We are living under the divine favor and under the works of the heavens, because we believe that in the kingdom of God, we're operating with the same system of the kingdom of God here on earth. So we should not allow ourselves to be dictating with the things of this world. Otherwise, we'll perish in a second. Amen, amen. May God bless you. We're going to pray this time. This prayer, you and I were going to pray that God will close all the doors. Anything that has been kind of open, we have been on any opening space. That's why you have been living the way you are living, the shallow way. You pretend to be a child of God, even though you are not even a child of God. You pretend you're a believer, but you know yourself that your behavior, your character and your behavior, no one knows. But yourself, you know that what I'm doing is not worthy to be called a child of God. It's a shame thing that you need to repent. You should say, Father God, have mercy upon me. Father God, have mercy upon me. If you have been in this relationship, secret relationship, you don't want anyone to know. God knows everything in heaven, please. God knows everything. You cannot hide anything to God. If you have been operating, hiding things to your spouse, to your husband, to your wife, to your children, may God have mercy upon your life. Close all those small gaps in your life in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen. There's nothing to hide before the Lord. You can still do it as long as you're still alive, you can make a change. You can do it by the grace of God. Let's up you on our feet and let's pray together. In Jesus' name.
I will worship you forever, love you forever, because this God you too good. I will worship you forever, love you forever, because this God you too good Lord. I will worship you, O Lord.
I will
praise your name, God,
you forever, because this God is too good.
I will worship you, Jesus, you are too good. Jesus, you